Hi, you're listening to my favourite Elliott Smith song. This is the podcast that's all about keeping Elliott Smith's legacy alive in our own very small way. And we do that by speaking to well-known fans about their favourite song of his. So hello and thank you so much for joining us for this one. This episode is with the American songwriter, musician and author Amanda Palmer. Now if you don't know Amanda, she's mainly a solo artist now, but she rose to prominence during the early 2000s as one half of the duo The Dresden Dolls. Amanda is of course a big fan of Elliott's, I guess why else would we be speaking to her on this show? And in between performing and writing books, Amanda can often be found tweeting about her love of Elliott Smith. And she even appeared on an Elliott Smith tribute album called Say Yes, which came out in 2016. So in this interview, we talk about her appearance on that album. We also talk about her favourite song, of course, as well as how being an Elliott Smith fan can sometimes cause relationship problems. So that's probably about enough of an intro for you now. Here's the interview with Amanda, and I'll see you quickly again on the other side. Hope you enjoy it.
I picked pictures of me.
Stop and start, stupid acting smart, flirting with the flicks, you say it's just for kids, you'll be the victim of your own dirty tricks, you got yourself to tease and displease.
I mean, one of the things that I love about Elliott's songwriting period is just the really honest inner dialogue that his songs are. He's really a master of it. It's like he's letting you in on the conversation he's having with himself. And that song just feels so, it feels so honest. And I mean, a lot of his songs do, and it's a hallmark of his songwriting, but there's something about, you know, listening to this man grappling with his own image is really, it's just beautiful.
Door swinging wide, you walked into high, looking at your feet, failure's complete.
He's such a great poet. I just love the way he sticks words together. He does that wonderful thing that Leonard Cohen does, which is you're pretty sure what he's talking about, but you're not totally sure, which is what a good poet does. You know, they sort of sprinkle feelings all over you, but they don't get so specific that the magic isn't there.
Is he talking about fame when he's talking about pictures of me? What do you think?
I think you could probably take it pretty fucking literally. And I know a little bit about Elliott's life, not a ton. I read the book when it came out, his biography, which was beautiful. And I know he struggled a lot with his own image, with his own face, with his own fame, with the sound of his own voice. He struggled so much with accepting himself. And I would think having to face himself, you know, in image form, literally, like showing up at a club and there's a picture of Elliott Smith on the wall. If you're stuck in a tangled relationship with yourself, constantly, you know, being forced to see these images of yourself is going to be hard. It's going to be hard. Every artist has to struggle with this. I mean, every artist, even if you've got a really healthy ego, being confronted with your own image is just that. It's confronting. You're constantly confronted with your own vanity. You're constantly confronted with your own ideas about yourself and the way you look and the way you're appearing to others and the way you're appearing to be selling yourself to others. It's such a fucking awful thing about becoming any degree of successful is you didn't know you were going to necessarily have to deal with this stuff, but there it is staring you in the face. And I hear a lot of that.
Who sells personal health? Who'd like to see me down on my fucking knees?
And what about the line, everybody's dying just to get the disease? Is there a better Elliott Smith line?
It's a genius line. That is one of those moments where you want to stand up and cheer and go, you get the songwriting award. That's such a great line. Yeah, I mean, that's encapsulates it all in one line. Everyone desperately wants to be seen famous and hailed as a celebrity. And being a celebrity is a disease, you know, it doesn't actually fulfill you.
And you covered this song for a tribute album called Say Yes, which came out a couple of years ago. How did you find covering the song?
It was really interesting because Elliott's hallmark as an arranger and a writer and a guitarist, and if you've listened to all of his records, he stays within a certain dynamic. Like, and it's one of the things that makes listening to his records so satisfying is they live in this kind of universe of Elliott Smithness, which has a dynamic that never goes to a scream and it never goes to a whisper. It's kind of like this quiet conversational tone. And, you know, you can listen to all of Either Or, and it's just kind of Elliott talking to you in this kind of, you know, monotone monologue. But oh my God, if you actually listen to what he's saying, but he's not doing this and he's not doing this, like he's in a zone. And so one of the things that I needed to do was decide how much dynamic I wanted to add on top of it, because my whole thing in my songwriting, at least my older stuff and the Dresden Doll stuff, is like there's a whisper to a scream dynamic all the time. But you know, Elliott's music doesn't call for that. It doesn't ask to be quiet, loud, quiet, loud. It asks to be conversational. So I arranged it that way, and then I wanted to add just a teeny little bit of percussion, so I did some overdubs, and I tried to honor the song. I tried not to add anything. I remember talking to Ben Folds about Elliott Smith when he was producing my first record back in 2008. And we were having that same kind of conversation about dynamic and loudness versus softness. And because we were, you know, we were sitting around producing an album and having all sorts of dorky conversations about that sort of stuff. And Ben and I really bonded over our mutual love of Elliott's music and his songwriting and his craft. And Ben knew him. And I forget exactly what Ben said, but they were basically talking about how Elliott, you know, never really raised his voice, you know, never felt the need to yell or scream or even really sing loudly. And Elliott said something to the effect of, you know, when you grow up in a situation where everything around you is that loud, your only way back to power is by being quiet. And I just, like, and this is after he had died, and I just looked at Ben and was like, oh my God. I mean, there's a beautiful truth in that.
So with this thought in mind about Elliott's songwriting, are there any songs that you've written that have been particularly influenced by Elliott Smith?
Yeah, there's one in particular called Bigger on the Inside that's almost like a straight up Elliott homage. it's just like a 6-minute, 4-chord, heartbreaking. I don't need to raise my voice to make myself heard and talk about how crushed and sad I am. And it's okay to just deliver this poetry over some quiet ukulele chords, and I'm going to go for it.
I saw you recently tweeted, can you truly love a person who doesn't not only love, but doesn't like Elliott Smith's music? Does that mean, for people that don't know, you're married to the author Neil Gaiman, and does that mean that Elliot's music is popular in your whole household?
Oh, poor Neil. He was so sad when I tweeted that. I was on a road trip with Neil, and I sort of needed my Elliot Smith fix and balm. And Neil doesn't really know Elliot's music. He's not that familiar with it. And I think I put on Either Or because I had brought the CD with me, and he was like, yeah, I don't want to listen to this. And I was like, that means we just can't move forward. I was just like, I don't know what to do with that. I don't know where to put that. It really upset me that Neil didn't feel and see, at least in that moment. I mean, Neil's defense was like, he just wasn't in the mood to listen to morose guitar music. And I was like, I'm always in the mood to listen to morose guitar music. I'm sorry. We're just really different there. But it hurt me enough, you know, mostly because I really needed that music as a salve in that moment. This listening to Elliot Smith is, to me, it's different from listening to other music. I listen to it and it comforts me. It helps me. It also reminds me and helps me to understand how some of my fans feel about some of my music. You know I have fans who come up to me and say, you know, this album or this song was on repeat while I was going through X, Y, or Z. I can't explain it, but thank you so much. And you'll never understand what it meant to me. And I will understand what it meant to them. I get it. I not as much as I did as a teenager, but I still need music to survive. And certain albums hold me in a way that no human being and no therapist and no drug and no experience, no other experience could hold and hug me and calm me down.
Thanks then to Amanda Palmer for taking the time to do the interview. It was great speaking to her and great having her on the show. And thanks also to everyone who's been in touch with us on Twitter, Instagram, and through the website over the last couple of weeks. It's been great reading everyone's comments. So if you do have something to say, even if it's not very nice, do feel free to get in touch. And before I go, I just want to give a quick shout out to somebody called Dan Caleb, who sent us a message on Instagram recently. Dan says that soon he wants to be famous enough to be on this podcast. So why not let's try and make that happen. Let's help him get there if we can. So go and check out his music. You can find him on Facebook. You can find him on YouTube. And he's also got one song on Spotify. And finally, I want to finish by saying thank you to Elizabeth with Stanley for all her production on this show. Hope to see everyone again in a couple of weeks when our guest will be Max Bloom from the band Yuck. See you then.